Please note the views expressed in the Art Tactic podcast are not necessarily those of the hosted staff or Art Tactic. Welcome to the Art Tactic podcast. I'm your host, Adam Green. Thanks for listening. Today we're joined by Kenny Schachter, writer, independent curator, and owner of Kenny Schachter Rove Gallery in London. Kenny's going to give us his impressions of the major contemporary auctions that occurred last week in London. Kenny, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
During this past week in London, both Sotheby's and Christie's held their first major contemporary sales of the season, and both did pretty well compared to the pre-sale estimates. Christie's evening sale produced £11.2 million against a pre-auction estimate of £6.7 versus £9.4 million, while Sotheby's only had a day sale, but it racked up £20.2 million against £15.6 to £21.6 million. And Christie's sold all but one of their 25 lots in their evening sale. Is this the kind of demand we can continue to expect at these price levels?
It's like a temperature reading of the state of the art world. And even at these diminished levels of volume and value, I think what the results have shown, and also the atmosphere at Frieze more than individual performance of particular galleries, that the art world has established itself. It's greater than it ever was, even from 10 years ago, even at today's diminished levels, that not to diminish art by saying that it is a recognized asset class, because I don't think there's anything wrong with mixing art and business. Mm-hmm. But whereas before, in the past 2 years, there was a lot more rampant speculation, things have buckled down, hunkered down, and the people that are participating in this market are people that deeply care about art and connoisseurship, which is a good thing.
Yeah. And looking at the supply side of things, Christie's evening sale only had 25 lots. It had 47 last year, and Sotheby's didn't even have an evening sale this year. I'm curious, what degree do you think this is prospective sellers just sitting on the sideline until things improve versus sellers choosing to sell on the private market?
Well, I mean, I don't even know if it's so much sellers. When you have a wonderful piece of art, you don't, I mean, if you're not forced to sell it, a motivated seller, you really want to get the greatest value for your artwork. And rare works of art continue not only to hold their value, but to exceed expectations and to make records still. So the problem is that the way interest on the auction level is incited is by seducing people into the process of bidding by low estimates. However, the downside, if you lock yourself into a low estimate, you stand the chance of parting with your art at a level lower than your minimum expectations would be. So in a way, whereas auction houses used to be spinning money and were very free with their guarantees, and the guarantees have evaporated, it does create a different climate in which the auction houses, the balance of power has shifted well away from the auction houses back to the galleries, and even more so into the hands of the collectors, who are now entitled to greater discounts than at levels I've ever seen in the past 20 plus years.
Do you think that's going to stay that way for a while?
Well, I mean, I think there's been more growth in the past few months than in the past year. So if things continue to grow, then the window will close for these unprecedented levels of discounts and bargaining power of the collector. If there's, I mean, many people are expecting a double dip and the market to go down. And I mean, all of these things are inextricably tied together. So where the market goes, often the art world is in tow sooner or later. So if sentiment continues to grow, the window of discounts will continue to close in proportion.
Mm-hmm. And during the heat of the recession, the volume of American buyers, especially at auction, diminished drastically. However, something I found interesting was a Christie's official said that half of the lots at Christie's evening sale last week were bought by Americans. From your personal dealings, have you noticed American buyers becoming more active lately compared to 6 months or 6 to 9 months ago?
Well, first of all, I would like to say I wouldn't call what was involved with the recession anything like heat. It was more like a deep freeze where there was pretty much complete paralysis for like 6 to 9 months, where I've never seen such a fear of God in the eyes of people that I thought would never believe in anything. I mean, there really was a period in time. I understand why it's called a depression, because it's absolutely depressing. I mean, people were absolutely stood still in their boots and afraid to buy a T-shirt or a sweater. There was really that level of kind of pullback and readdressing of these fundamental things that have driven society for the past 5-10 years, which is this kind of massive consumerism in a sense. I can't specifically say that much more Americans, but the fact is there's more activity across the board on a global level. So I think there are more, because there was a deeper history in America for collecting modern and contemporary, I think a lot of those people were priced out of the market for the past 5 years. So probably just the very notion of Americans participating again has seemed like this massive flux of American collectors. But I think there are people that have taken stock in the past and are now ready to get back in at more reasonable levels.
And you're obviously an art market veteran who's seen, who's been in the game for a while and seen a lot. And you just described...
Are you trying to say I'm old?
No, definitely not. Savvy. And so you've witnessed past downturns before, and you just described just briefly how bad this most recent one was. I'm curious if you can go into detail a little bit more, comparing this one, just from your own personal view and personal experiences, this downturn to past ones you've experienced.
Because I've done many different things, from being a lawyer to working on the stock market and writing and even making some work, I've only been in the trenches for the last recession. And funny enough, I mean, when I started, after my earnings have gone down the exact same percentage point in dollar terms, thank God it's vastly different. But I pretty much, I could say, and I'm one of the few people that would dare to admit it, I mean, I'm probably down close to 85% September on September until recent activity has really perked up, you know, to almost what amounts to a dramatic level. So I think, like I said before, when the recession in 1991, the art world didn't constrict, it evaporated. In today's world, like the conversation that we were having previous, when you were talking about new levels, the auction houses have found new levels. At these levels, Kippenberger's will sell for over their high estimate. Richter's will sell. Various even Damien Hirst market is resurging because it was down about 40%. So, which you guys were the first to point out. So even the fact that the market can find a level where there's still hundreds of millions of dollars being traded in a given year, in 10 years ago, during the recession, there wasn't even anything remotely resembling that level of activity. So the levels back then were the fact that it was flatlining. Today, when people talk about not even a deep recession, but what amounted to practically a depression, it's a matter of nomenclature, but the fact that there is a market, records, I mean, if you look at Philips 6 months ago during the deeper part of the recession, they had like 15 or more records for young artists. So when things are priced seductively enough, people have the confidence in the material of itself as something in light of the complications with the stock market, the teeny interest rates from banks and bonds and et cetera, and the uncertainties of the markets are at the most unprecedented level since recording markets. And people have really grown to embrace tangible assets. And how I've seen, when I started my business, I would get phone calls from the art magazines and the art press every periodically, so often, to write or review an exhibition. The way things have changed in over 20 years are that the phone calls now are from a company like your company, a company, the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg. I mean, Bloomberg and these companies are the new Art Forum magazine. That's where people turn to get their reportage on what's transpiring in the world of art today, which is a vast difference in and of itself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, things have definitely changed. Something interesting that I came across was an article you wrote for the Daily Mail in July, and you said, "As an art lover, I actually welcome the recession." What kind of transformation in the arts or art market do you envision occurring or has occurred already as a result of the economic climate that excites you?
Well, I have to say, I mean, I felt so turned off by the fact that, I'm not one of these people that will defend that art should remain outside the stream of commerce. I absolutely do not. I make my living from art. But I think that art, when you divorce art from the aesthetics, that is a real gripe of mine, where in the recent past, various speculators, I mean, maybe you can write it off to being jealous that these people that knew absolutely nothing about art were far exceeding in one transaction, you know, 5 years of my previous business, and I've been teaching and writing about art for 22 years. So I think it got to the point where people were moving crates around from one storage location to another on their way to Sotheby's and Christie's, and just the notion of appreciation, connoisseurship, was completely lost. in terms of buying art with one's ear, who's buying, who's selling. I mean, I joke that I never got to speak about art because I'm in the art business. So I think what the recession, in any event, when art is about money, art only reflects what's happening at a given point in time. So you can't blame art for anything. Art is simply a reflection of culture and society at a given point in time. And the fact that art became so financially oriented and underpinned had more to do with that's where society was. Everybody thought shopping was akin to like a hobby or reading or, you know, playing sports. So I think that there's been this great kind of reassessment and accountability for past excesses, and art was part and parcel of just this whole dynamic, a social dynamic at the time. So I just think art now will be about more serious issues, not for righteous reasons or didactic reasons, but people are getting back to family and the things that are close to home because they've been forced back into these periods because of the climate that we're all responsible for.
That's a good point. I know you're heavily involved in the design market also. How has the economy impacted the design industry and relative to the art market? And how did you see the design industry performing in the future? Yeah.
Well, I think design and art go hand in hand, so it's really hard to make a separation. Slowly but surely, the design fairs are being sucked into the actual art fairs. For instance, the Basel Design Fair, the Basel Art Fair, they were in, like, the design fair was in a ghetto for the past 3 or 4 years, and slowly but surely, the space between them is growing smaller and smaller, and one's getting subsumed into the other. And I think if you look at, I mean, clearly, the design tried to emulate the worst characteristics of the art world, trying to emulate this austere clinical gallery setting, and the prices escalated at such a rampant pace, there was a bit of a backlash against this whole collecting category in and of itself, and that's not a good thing. I've been a major commissioning factor with, for instance, Zaha Hadid over the past 3 years, and I have to say, like, the pricing became a bit too aggressive in lockstep with what was happening in the art world, and again, whenever things go too quickly or out of whack, there's a kind of a reassessment and a pulling back and a recalculation of levels, and that's clearly happened in design. But I think the most extraordinary factor is Mark Newson as this seminal figure of the kind of poster boy for design, where you saw the Lockheed Lounge in 2000 go for $100,000, then up to $900,000 a year later up to $1.5 million, and only 6 months ago, at the darkest point in the economic climate in 50 years maybe, the piece made a record, which goes to show you more than anything that I always think I make no separation between a well-designed car, a classic car. The classic car market is doing phenomenally well if you have the right rare material with provenance and history. And the same could be said for art and in more modernist or classical design. And contemporary design is here with us, whether you like it or not, to stay. Although I agree that the prices went too high, nevertheless, this is a field of collecting that's only going to grow and more become integrated into the world of contemporary art. For me, there's a perfect relationship in how photography was always looked at, this kind of poor cousin of art, until it became a market leader. And the same will happen with design. More and more, the world's top designers will walk into contemporary art gallery stables and just be another kind of seamless continuation from one form of creativity to another.
Yeah, and I get in London, it's just last week, we had the Art and Design Fair, which, as you said, they're becoming more and more closer related. That fair had both art and design in it.
Yes, and not only that, but they sort of went retrograde, and they went... because I did the design fair last year, but now I'm just doing independent projects and I'm not involved. But they were being so coy, they said it would be art and design, but they never mentioned, assuming that I would be happier with contemporary, they never even mentioned the fact that it would be more classical art. And I am always of the mind to blur boundaries. And for me, there's nothing better than seeing Louis Couture's furniture mixed with a modern or contemporary piece of art. Or in my latest exhibition of design and some painting, I have a few classic cars right amongst the artworks in the gallery. So I think that these things are very interesting. And the way that this fair attracted some of the most extraordinary people in the world, the Pavilion in Berkeley Square, which was modernist art with a sprinkling of design, it's an extraordinary thing to see these things coexist. together, attracting some of the most prominent people in the world. But for me, it's a wonder. It's more interesting even than Freeze, almost as a social experiment.
All right, and lastly, for our listeners who aren't too familiar with Rove, why don't you tell us a little bit about the gallery and also what you're exhibiting at the moment?
Well, thank you. Right now I have, through December 23rd, there's an exhibition with designers from Zaha Hadid, Eric Levy, Tom Dixon, a young artist, Brendan Cass, a genius of a furniture designer from France, 80-year-old Maria Perguet. There's quite an admixture of people, a young British artist, designer, Peter Harvey, and Matthias Bengston. So the project is really a transient, ongoing project where I still move from space to space on a certain level. I curate shows with museums. I'm working on a book with Rizzoli where I've commissioned 25 artists and architects and designers to do conceptual cars. And I'm moving along with Zaha Hadid's first commercial development in England. So it's a really multifaceted practice, from real estate to art, and I write and have made art from time to time. But for me, it really falls within the rubric of art and blurring boundaries, exactly these issues that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. And if our listeners want to learn more about the gallery, what's the website?
Thank you. It's Rove, R-O-V-E, TV, like television, rovetv.net.
Right,
and everything is there. Thank you very
Perfect.
Much. I appreciate
right.
that
Kenny,
very much.
Thanks for coming on and talking with us and sharing your impressions on the auctions.
It's a pleasure.
All right, bye.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Art Tactic Podcast. All of our previous episodes are available for free online at www.arttactic.com/podcast.php. Also, Art Tactic is now on Twitter. You can follow us at www.twitter.com/arttactic. And lastly, Art Tactic now has a Facebook fan page. You can log on to Facebook and search for Art Tactic to become a fan.